You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct, the show where we dig into the technology that's reshaping how we fly, and today, we are going deep on what might be the most consequential certification effort in general aviation since the original type certificate process was invented. We're talking about Joby Aviation and the race to certify electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, EVTOL. It's a word that's been floating around for years now, but we're finally at the point where the rubber meets the road, or more accurately, where the landing gear meets the vertiport. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. Joby Aviation, based in Santa Cruz, California, has been at this for over a decade. That's a detail that gets lost in the noise. People hear EVTOL and think it's some startup with a PowerPoint and a dream. Joby was founded in 2009. They've been flying prototypes since 2017. They went public through a special purpose acquisition company in 2021. And as of early 2026, they have logged well over 1,000 test flights on their production prototype aircraft. The aircraft itself, 5 passenger seats including the pilot, 6 tilting electric motors, each with its own propeller, designed for a range of roughly 150 miles on a single charge at cruise speeds around 200 miles per hour. That's not helicopter territory on range, but it absolutely competes on speed over short urban routes. Think about it. Los Angeles International to Santa Monica, Manhattan to JFK, Dallas to Fort Worth. These are 30 to 60 mile trips that take an hour or more on the ground and could take 15 minutes in a Joby. Now, here's what most people miss about the certification story. Joby is not pursuing some special lightweight category or an experimental certificate. They're going for a full Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, Part 523 type certificate. That's the same airworthiness standard that covers your Cessna 172, your Cirrus SR-22. This is significant, because it means Joby is voluntarily holding itself to the most rigorous safety standards in aviation. The FAA agreed to certify eVTOL aircraft under a modified Part 523 framework with special conditions rather than creating an entirely new category from scratch. And that decision has shaped everything. Let me explain why that matters. When the FAA certifies an aircraft under Part 523, they're evaluating the entire system. Structures, power plant, flight controls, electrical systems, performance, handling qualities, bird strike resistance, lightning protection, crashworthiness. Every single one of those areas has to meet defined standards, and every one has to be demonstrated through analysis, testing, or both. For a conventional airplane, the FAA has decades of institutional knowledge about what questions to ask. Piston engine? They know the failure modes. Aluminum airframe? They know the fatigue behavior. Hydraulic flight controls? They know the failure analysis methodology. But eVTOL introduces problems the FAA has never had to certify at this scale before. Distributed electric propulsion, high-voltage battery packs, fly-by-wire flight controls with no mechanical backup, tilt rotor transition from vertical to wingborne flight. These are not incremental changes. This is fundamentally new territory. Joby's approach has been to work hand-in-hand with the FAA from the beginning. They signed what's called a G1 certification basis agreement, which essentially locks in the specific regulations and special conditions that apply to their aircraft. They then moved into Stage 2 and Stage 3 of the certification process, which involves detailed design reviews and actual physical testing. The data tells an interesting story here. As of early 2026, Joby has completed what they report as over 70% of the FAA's certification requirements. They've done structural testing, they've done high-voltage electrical testing, they've done flight testing across the envelope. They completed a 245 nautical mile flight in 2024 that demonstrated the range capability. They've done noise testing that showed their aircraft at roughly 65 decibels during overhead flight, which is about the volume of a normal conversation. That noise figure is genuinely remarkable and solves one of the biggest political problems with urban air mobility. Nobody wants a helicopter buzzing their neighborhood, but something as quiet as a conversation? That changes the zoning equation entirely. Now, let me be honest about the challenges, because there are real ones. First, batteries. Joby uses custom lithium-ion battery packs, and while the energy density of those packs has improved steadily, we are still nowhere near jet fuel in terms of energy per kilogram. Jet fuel gives you roughly 43 megajoules per kilogram. The best lithium-ion cells today give you maybe 1 megajoule per kilogram. That's a factor of 40 difference. What that means practically is that eVTOL aircraft like Joby's are fundamentally limited to short-range operations. 100, maybe 200 miles. That's fine for urban air taxi. It's not replacing your cross-country flight to Oshkosh. The battery degradation question is also real. Lithium-ion cells lose capacity over charge cycles. Airlines already deal with this in terms of replacing battery packs on the Boeing 787, but for an aircraft that's all electric, battery replacement cost and frequency directly affect the economics of the entire operation. Joby has been relatively quiet about their projected battery lifecycle costs, and that silence is notable. Second, manufacturing. Joby has built a production facility in Marina, California, and they've been scaling up their manufacturing line. But there's a world of difference between building 5 aircraft for flight test and building 500 aircraft per year for commercial service. The composite structures, the electric motors, the battery packs, the fly-by-wire avionics, every one of those supply chains has to be production-ready, quality-controlled, and FAA-approved under their production certificate. Third, the infrastructure question. You can certify the aircraft perfectly and still have nowhere to fly it. eVTOL operations need vertiports, charging infrastructure, air traffic management integration. Joby has been working with cities and real estate developers, and they've partnered with the Department of Defense for operations at military bases. But the build-out of a civilian vertiport network is a massive capital and regulatory challenge that exists entirely outside of the aircraft certification process. Let's talk about the competitive landscape, because Joby is not alone in this race. Archer Aviation, also based in California, is pursuing a very similar aircraft design and certification path. They have their Midnight aircraft, a 4-passenger eVTOL, and they're also going through FAA Part 523 certification. Archer has been neck and neck with Joby on milestones, though Joby generally holds a slight lead in total flight test hours. Lilium, the German company building a fixed-wing eVTOL with ducted electric fans, went through bankruptcy proceedings in late 2024, but has since been restructured and is continuing development under European Union Aviation Safety Agency certification. Their design philosophy is different. It's more of a regional air mobility play with longer-range targets. Beta Technologies out of Vermont is taking yet another approach. They're focused on charging infrastructure and cargo operations first, with passenger service coming later. Their Alia aircraft has a more conventional fixed-wing design with a pusher propeller and separate lift rotors. And then there's the 800-pound gorilla that nobody talks about enough. Wisk Aero, backed by Boeing, is developing an autonomous eVTOL. No pilot. That's a whole different certification challenge and probably adds years to their timeline. But if they pull it off, the economics change dramatically when you eliminate the pilot seat. Each of these companies is making different bets on technology, market, and certification strategy. And here's the thing. The FAA does not have unlimited resources. Every one of these applicants is competing for the same pool of FAA certification engineers, the same designated engineering representatives, the same flight test resources. The FAA has stood up a dedicated eVTOL certification team, but the sheer volume of novel applications is straining the system. So what's the honest timeline? Joby has publicly targeted commercial operations beginning in late 2025 to 2026, initially in cities like Los Angeles and New York. As I'm talking to you today in 2026, they're deep in the final stages of certification. Whether they have a type certificate in hand by the end of this year or it slips into 2027 depends on the remaining flight test program and the FAA's throughput. But I want to set realistic expectations. Even after type certification, you need an air carrier certificate or Part 135 operating certificate, pilot type ratings, maintenance programs, operational infrastructure. The path from type certificate to paying passengers in the back seat has multiple additional steps, each with its own timeline. My honest assessment, Joby is the closest any eVTOL company has come to crossing the finish line. The technology works, the aircraft flies, the noise profile is genuinely impressive, but the economics remain unproven at scale. The battery limitations are real, and the infrastructure build-out will take years, not months. What I find genuinely exciting is that regardless of whether Joby's specific business model succeeds or fails, they have dragged the FAA into the 21st century on certifying novel propulsion and flight control architectures. The special conditions and certification methods being developed for Joby will be used for the next 20 years of electric aviation development. That institutional knowledge is being built right now, flight test by flight test, engineering review by engineering review. For those of you who fly traditional aircraft, none of this is a threat. Nobody is coming for your Bonanza or your Cherokee, but the arrival of certified eVTOL aircraft in the national airspace system will absolutely affect how airspace is managed, how traffic is sequenced, and how the public perceives general aviation. And that's worth paying attention to. Now for the sources behind today's deep dive. We drew from FAA certification documentation, Joby Aviation's own public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, reporting from AVWeb and AOPA on the eVTOL certification process, and flight test data that Joby has released publicly. As always, Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by people who love aviation. Every claim we make is sourced. If you want to dig deeper or see the source list, head to radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Go read a type certificate data sheet sometime. You'll never look at your airplane the same way again. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.